And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. My name is Dr. June. I'm one of your co-hosts. We started this program to bring the voice of overseas Christianity to the Western world. Our program airs every Thursday at 6 p.m. here at 91.5 FM WAPN, Holy Hill, Florida, and 91.7 FM WAPB, Madison, Florida. You can visit our website at www.truthtowellness.com. We are now in Season 3, bringing you the Word of God from the perspective of our overseas teaching. We are currently discussing fear and faith with Dr. T, which we will get to right after the song.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, we'll see your glory. Search for yours, Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will sing of love come down.
I will sing of love come down.
And as you show your face, we'll see your glory here. We'll see your glory.
Welcome to Fear and Faith. This is now part three. In part one, we have essentially looked at fear and faith as the opposite ends of the same continuum. I touched a little bit on theory of phobia. I really don't have the time in terms of science to bring in all the elements of fear and phobia, other than to say that it is one variable that influences a lot more things than people realize. And then we talked about how fear is not the way that God wants us to behave. Being fearful is not being humble. Then we talked also about how it compares, and the aspect that the fear is human. It certainly is something we are naturally inclined to, while the faith is a gift and something that we rise in and grow in. In the second program, we talked about fear, not the way of God, and essentially focused on what Jesus said about fear and connected it to having little faith. And then we also looked at the role of the power of the Holy Spirit in terms of Peter's experience before and after his encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit described in Acts 2. And so we looked at that and looked at what role does fear play in terms of us being able to stand up and having the courage to stand up like Peter stood up. And this time, in this program, we are going to talk about David and Goliath, see what has happened in the old time, and touch a few things from the Old Testament, so as to show the continuity. In fact, even in Old Testament, fear was not something God was looking from us. So having said that, I'd like to start with a scripture that describes an event in 1 Samuel 17, 10 and 11. It says, "And the Philistine," this is referring to Goliath, "said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now, this word obviously describes something that happened a couple thousand, 3,000 years ago. But also remember that this also describes a strategy that the devil often brings, where he challenges us something that is above our strength, above our ability, and we end up being just like Saul and Israel when they heard the words of Philistines, being dismayed and afraid. This is nothing new. This strategy is used today, and many of you will know and recognize it when we face challenges, we face problems. This is the same thing that happened then. I don't know if you realize this, but Goliath was about 9 feet tall. And I'm 6 foot five, and most people call me tall. This guy was another 3 feet on top of me. So he was fairly big, fairly tall. Essentially somebody that often would be referred to as a giant. And he was inviting anybody of Israelis to come and fight him. David, on the other hand, who responded to this challenge, was not afraid, and he was responding to it from a different view. Everybody else was looking at Goliath's physical strength and physical stature, but David was looking at something else. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 17, 40-47. "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking." So let me stop here for a moment. Let's take a look at what we are reading here. First of all, he chose 5 smooth stones from a brook. Now, what you may not realize is the scriptures before this, and I don't have the time to read them all, show that Saul tried to outfit David with his weapons, with the weapons that were used by humans at that time to deal with that problem. When the warrior would go to a war or to a fight, they would carry a shield, a breastplate, and other components that would protect them and help them to fight. These are human designs that are made. These are human objects that are made to help us do a certain job. David rejected this. He didn't put any of that on. It was too big for him. Instead, he went and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, so 5 very small stones. It's amazing that he did not go in the way men would go, in the way men would engage. You see here that when somebody doesn't have fear, he's not limited to the thinking inside the box only that most people with fear or natural apprehension, if you want to call it that, have. He was thinking outside the box. So he went and picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag. Why did he do this? because this is how he faced a bear and a lion when they would come against his sheep. He would face them like this and he would overcome them in this way. If you think of the physics of it, he is quite correct. The sling that he had would have the power of a shotgun within about 20 feet or so, up to maybe 100 feet from him. If he puts a small stone in a sling, that stone will be able to penetrate the skin much better. This is why very often small bullets are as dangerous as the big ones, although big ones today have more power, so that's a different story there. Anything that's this small obviously has a very small surface that it applies all this force to. And he didn't really think about all of this. All he was thinking about is, this is how God delivered the bear and the lion in my hands, and this is no different. He didn't go out with fear. Instead, what did he go out with? Trust, faith. Okay, so you see an example here where he went out with faith. So what happened here, obviously, the other warrior, Goliath, he looked at him and he kind of got almost offended. He said, so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the breast of the field. And then David said to Philistine, you came to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now you see that from what he said, obviously what he's saying is, you're coming at me with all your tools that are human made, that are human designed. You have essentially come at me in a human way. So you see, when somebody is not acting in fear, when they're acting in faith, and we already know that you can't stand in both, you have to, as the faith increases, the fear has to go down and dissipate. We can see that the way of thinking changes, and David is now able to take on challenges that otherwise he was not able to take on. As you can see, one of the big differences that I want to show from this example is not only that David defeated Goliath, but that he did it looking and thinking outside the box because he had no fear. This in turn makes us conclude that fear closes our mind to other options and possibilities, and in fact we will see those as impossible or non-existent, whereas the faith opens that up to us. This also has an effect in terms of God's choice for leadership, as we can see in the Old Testament, where Saul was rejected because of fear. The leader that was leading the Israelis at the time David and Goliath conflict occurred was King Saul. He was rejected because of fear. Why? Because a person who is in fear is not able to think and function and believe in a way that a person who is walking in faith. This is why, coming back to the scripture, without faith it's not possible to please God. Saul was rejected, as you can see in 1 Samuel 13:11-12. It says, and Samuel said to Saul, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Now, we can talk about him acting in fear, which obviously he's describing here, but we can also notice something else. He had a certain routine, certain religious act that he felt he needs to do. And so what he has actually done every time before going to war is offer a burnt offering to the Lord. But the issue is that here we see that he obviously was not the one that was allowed to do it, but he was afraid the Philistines are going to come down from Gilgal, and he was afraid that how can I go to war without this routine not being done? Very often when we act out in fear, we develop our own routines. Well, I'm going to bless my children, I'm going to pray for my children. And sometimes those routines give us a certain sense of a security. And that's really legalism, and that is religiosity. We have it all in our churches. We have some things that, for example, here are okay, but may not work in other countries. I have seen people go to restaurants and pray before their meal. I pray for before my meal also, but I don't make it very obvious, because if I'm going in some country that's restricted and I'm there with a native brothers from that country, I don't want to show to everybody in that restaurant who they are, especially if their church is underground. So we have to be able to step away from traditions that we are used to, that we start to lean on and lean on the living faith. Why he was rejected is because from fear. We end up developing this set of routines, this set of habits that we start leaning on instead of leaning on God. This is actually one of the sources of Jesus' comment to the Jews when they were leaning on all of their traditions, and he said, why do you defeat the word of God by your tradition? Why do you make the word of God of no effect because of your tradition? It's very, very important to understand that, that when we work in fear, we essentially end up being in legalism. So you may say, well, why is this the case? This is the case because any law, any legalistic structure, even any legal environment that we live in as a country is always based on the deterrent of punishment. That is, it's based on fear. Whenever we say we're deterrent, it means fear. Essentially, it's based on fear. Legal environment is based on fear as a consequence. And so we want to obey the law because if we don't, this and this may happen. And in addition to that, we can see that in scriptural context, very often, if we're legalistic or we go to a church that's legalistic, that church is going to emphasize much more fear over faith. So such churches are going to preach fire and brimstone much more and try to scare you out of hell rather than increasing your faith in your loving Father, and thereby you getting to know and becoming part of his family. This is very dangerous, but this is what legalism does. This is one of the reasons, and we will touch on this a little bit later, why God wanted to have a new covenant, because the old covenant was based on law and therefore based on fear. Having said that, you notice that still the Lord emphasized David over Saul. And David has still committed more sins, if you want to call it that way, has committed adultery, has committed murder, and so on. And we don't know that Saul has done any of that. And yet God rejected Saul and loved David. So you see that even in the Old Testament that was driven by fear, God still loved and appreciated faith. And this is what we are coming to now. We have to understand that fear is used to rule the population and not a family. But God wants us to be a family. We can see this in Romans 8:15, where he said, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The spirit of bondage here, and it takes some time to explain that, but it really refers to the law and legalism. Again, to fear. Why? Because it functions through fear. But he said, but instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And so we have to understand that God wants us to be a part of his family. Now, the person that's being adopted is not any better than somebody else. The only reason that person is being adopted is because whoever is adopting that person loves that person. Today, if a child is being adopted, that child is not better than any other child. It is just that whoever the adult is that's adopting the child loves the child, just fell in love with the child. And that is really what's happening with us. We are not any better, but instead, we are simply being adopted by our Heavenly Father because He loves us. This is why the Bible tells us that we, through the Spirit, eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith in Galatians 5:5. We, through the Spirit. Why? Because, as you know by now, if we are acting in the flesh, that is, behaving, thinking, and understanding things in the natural man, we'll be acting through the fear. We established that by talking from the example that we seen just earlier. And now we know that if we, through the Spirit, in a spiritual manner, and through the Holy Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness, how? By faith. Here we can see that hope comes from faith. This is also confirmed by Paul when he wrote just a verse before in Galatians 5:4. He said, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." Remember how we talk about people who, and even churches that emphasize fear, that emphasize escaping hell, and that are very legalistic? They tend to function in the physical. But churches that emphasize the adoption, emphasize that we are the children of God, and emphasize the knowledge of our Father as a daddy, somebody we know personally, those churches are the ones that walk in grace. And this is something that throughout the Bible you will see Paul emphasizing, that we are not to go and try to win our salvation with our works, and hence act in the side of fear and legalism, but that instead he wants us to trust in his grace that's come from him. And we already know that grace comes through the hope of righteousness by faith. If we look at Hebrews 11:6, we will see that again. If you pay attention, you will notice that it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, you notice there are two conditions here, and sometimes, I heard this quoted so many times, and I often wonder if people would notice this. There are two conditions. One is, he must believe that he is, in other words, that God exists. So that refers to atheism and believing that God exists in the form that Bible describes. But the second condition is that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What does this mean? Those who seek a relationship with him, who want to know more about him, who want to know him, he is a rewarder of those. This is an end condition, which means you have to have both. This is not either or. So you see here that faith leads to a relationship. There is no faith without a relationship. If you have the faith that you believe that God exists, I can show you a lot of people at university who are not Christian, who may be of other religions, who have that faith. That does not lead to the faith that God wants us to have, because God says that he wants us to have a faith that fulfills these two conditions, that he comes to God believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently or carefully look for him. And look for a relationship is essentially what he's saying here. This is now the end of part three, but I'd like to encourage you to please consider this. Faith eventually leads to a relationship. Relationship is based on love. He loved us first, and we are now given a chance to love him back. This is what faith leads to. Not judging, not arguing, not bitterness, not any of those things. It leads to relationship with Christ. God bless you all. In the next part, we will talk about what we are given, that we are not given the spirit of fear, and what the new covenant is that God wants us to walk in. Not the covenant of fear and of law, but that of faith, a relationship, and adoption. God bless you all.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.